Welcome to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, August 20th, 2025, 7 p.m. We're at Wasatch County Services Building, 55 South 500 East in Heber City, Utah. Item one on the agenda is public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. So, I don't know if you have any. Nobody? Great.
I don't even know what your agenda is. I'm just.
We have one.
Wanted to see what's going on.
Okay, item two. Did everyone have a chance to see?
You're petitioning for a seat up here.
Yeah.
Unless one of my people.
We already have a lot of magic people to work.
Like Paul style.
Okay.
So they're doing that.
Okay, does everyone have a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments on them? Okay, accept a motion to move the minutes then.
Make a motion to approve the minutes for June 18th, 2025, as written.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, stay.
Wade, yes. Any motion carries? Or no?
Yeah.
Majority of the court, good. Okay, item three. Kurt Clyde has applied for a conditional use permit for an accessory building greater than 2,500 square feet. So that requires a public hearing.
When is our next meeting?
You're asking hard questions today.
Yes. September. 17th. Are you asking?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we set a public hearing for Kurt Clyde conditional use permit application for September 17th, 2025.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second that. Heber can second that.
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Or Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wade, yes. Okay, let's move to item number four, which is to set a public hearing for JDCO's application for rezone property at 2530 South Daniels Road. Wrong vote process.
Now, this is the Keels.
Yeah.
Pretty is they've sold it to this group, or is this, who is JDCO? Not that it matters, but.
Yeah, they sold it.
That's the parent company of Hadco Construction.
So this is the one that's.
Has the townhouse on it.
Okay, so it's Iris is in place. Is there two parcels like this?
Here's Daniels Road.
Oh, it's in that place.
This is on the A5. And this is the other.
We just said it, so you guys are all set.
Are we good?
Yep, they just passed them.
We'll go have dinner then.
Enjoy.
Oh, rub it in.
I don't swear to say thank you.
So real quick, when you set it as a public hearing and then we come back, right?
Right.
Okay.
September 17th.
September 17th.
Right.
Comes with what the client is.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, thanks, guys.
And they still haven't seen your flat yet.
Yes, he's drawing up right now. I'll get it to you.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
So they want to make this industrial because they can't access the industrial through a residential lot. So what we told our last guy, they're trying to access it with a weird, different option.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the issue.
So what happens?
So the. That's why we're having a public hearing next month. So all we need to do today is just set a public hearing.
Can I make a motion?
Yep.
Okay, will you entertain that right now?
Yes, I would.
Perfect.
I make a motion that we set a public hearing for the JDCO application for rezoning property at 2530 South Daniels Road for September 17th for those two parcels listed to be rezoned to industrial.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes. Motion carries. Okay, next item is five. We have a new business license, which is Red Tire Boutique, Caleb Hilton. And so.
Can you tell us a little about your business?
Yeah. So basically. Yeah, we'll tell you all about it. So basically, we are an online business where people can come online and shop for clothing, women's clothing, and accessories. And then we'll go around Utah and to markets at like fairs and farmers markets and stuff and just sell there as well.
As I read your application, do you have a warehouse for your stuff?
So we just have it like in our garage where we just keep everything, but no one will actually be like shopping at like where the stuff is. It'll just be at markets and online.
So,
do you do any anything outside of any of the actual work on the clothing or tailoring or anything like that?
No.
Just.
And what is the actual address of your business?
So it's 3052 South Daniels Road.
And what's the city zip code?
Heber City.
Change it from Heber City to Daniel? Because
it's going to be anymore. Well, it's going to get, it's going to be sourced to wherever they sell to.
Is it where it's purchased from and not? Where the, so if
right,
I.
But online sales.
Online sales come from the point of the store, not the receipts.
Right. But if you were to go to a fair or something in Suffolk County,
it sells there. But her online stuff,
I pay sales tax to Amazon for my purchases or my wife's purchases.
Yeah.
They're both different. It's a different.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Okay.
Online goes to wherever the customer is located, assuming that the business is sophisticated enough to handle that.
Okay. But I think it would be helpful to switch that to Daniel.
Okay.
It, everything else is the same, but it puts that into your business license matches your address.
Okay.
So it just makes it clean. Just a suggestion.
Okay, do we have a motion? Call for a motion for this one.
I'll make a motion to accept the application for a business license for the Thread Attire Boutique, LLC.
This is a new business, so it's a recommendation to the council
okay.
to approve.
Because it's new, thank
uh-huh.
you. I will change my motion to recommend to the council that they consider the business license for Thread Attire Boutique, LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Item six.
Good luck. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Okay, just thought we'd talk about maybe some of the takeaways from our town hall meeting. Impressions, thoughts?
I think everybody's everyone's taking that lid off except those that own it. Was basically what I observed.
I don't know that that's the message I took away.
Not totally, but I, for the most part, our town does not want to open any cans that's going to drop our zoning.
The way I was trying to track it in my mind, and I didn't bring my tally with me, but it was pretty split of those that were basically just saying, don't touch the code, don't change anything, leave it as is. We know it's not perfect, but it's as close as we're comfortable tweaking with it. And then the other half were, let's tweak it. We understand we've got to be careful in how we tweak it, but let's try and solve for all of these lots that have these issues. And so that's, at least that, as I was trying to listen and track it, that's the way it came across to me. I have a lot of concerns of the town's ability to tweak it without unleashing a floodgate of unintended consequences, but that's the way I kind of took it as I walked out of there. Was I was surprised that there was that much kind of thought even meeting from some that weren't there with an active lot that were trying to do it. There, Duggan himself was one, was saying, like, let's find a way to solve for it. And I wish I felt confident that I was smart enough to come up with a plan to do that. I'm not sure that I feel that I could. One of my thoughts was, like, I've been talking with TJ McGann about this thing. I imagine there are consultants out there for towns and government entities that could help us craft this. I mean, my worry would be is that we're going to try, and we can put a vision together, but laws are, I mean, it's messy. And we can do our damnedest to try and keep it clean and not create some unintended consequences. But, I mean, to me, if we're going to try to touch it, like, to me, it feels like it's worth throwing, you know, I guess decide if we want to throw some money at it, but I think throwing some money at a consultant that can really try and help us navigate it better than us going on to, you know, I forget that I can never even pronounce that stupid website that you were pulling your.
It's the copyright stuff.
Yeah, that one. But, I mean, we can read through, and I can read through seven, you know, cases they've got there, and that's great. And we can try and craft around those seven or whatever, but I know in my job as a tax accountant, give me some really clear lines, and then I'm going to find a way to fit what I want to fit that's going to craft exactly where that is. And that's my worry, is we can draw some code up to fit exactly what we're seeing there or what we think we don't want, but there's an infinite supply of other scenarios that I don't have the confidence in myself to be able to craft that, that's for sure.
Guess what's on the county's agenda tonight?
I don't know.
Non-conforming lots of record. Saying that they will allow conditional uses if they can somehow combine lots to come up with the
minimum acreage?
Required acreage. So it's a D-160. They got to combine lots to get 160 acres in order to get conditional use. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Cut and dry.
So I got the feeling nobody wants to cut the 5 acre zoning down.
I caught that too. Most of them were positive they didn't want.
And
that.
I am still 100% for letting people build on a non-conforming lot of record. But I'm not sure we want to issue pardons.
Well, we'd have to determine pretty strict guidelines on the pardons, so to speak. But I don't know what those would look like.
I think the guidelines are there. They reached the zoning and was subdivided when it was done.
They bring up valid points right there. The guy's got an acre lot and he's got a house on it. My acre lot's right here and I can't build on it. So I don't know if we grant, I don't know what, I don't, I'm not going to say the right words, but grandfather's not it, but we all understand what that means at that time.
Well, the thing you have to do is go back through each one of them and see how it was created, what was done. And then it makes it a lot easier to make the decision because you know what happened.
So that question came up a lot. How many lots are, they said that. How many lots are we talking about? And we kind of beat around the bush a bit because
Yeah, because we know that
we don't know.
We don't know until you examine every.
Yeah, so that was just a shot. 30 was just a shot in the dark.
But I thought we would have people show up that actually have. We only had two people.
Yeah.
Come on. And how many lots are in this area? We had two people show up. That is such a poor response.
And we can say 30, but I know of four. So, in my opinion, any of the others.
Well, I think a lot of them, like you pointed out, Gary, they did subdivide the property, and this is the lot that's left over. And that's what we're looking at, and they never recorded it. It's never been done properly. It's just a leftover piece off of the big farm they split up.
And it never met the zoning of the area.
So now they're asking.
So everyone has an acre lot there, or acre whatever.
Yeah, whatever was left.
Yep.
And now they want to build on it because the property value is high.
What did you hear?
I heard people really don't know what you're talking about.
That's what I got, is nobody knew what you were talking about.
I mean, they were kind of all over the board as far as I could see, and they wanted to talk about, you know, the rezoning and bringing everybody else up to the A5 or whatever. I don't think people really know what a conforming lot and a non-conforming lot or an illegal lot really is.
Okay.
It's kind of what I gathered from it. I mean, some of them did. Like you say, there was two up there that were pushing for it, but I have my own opinion on both of them. I think you're going to open up a whole can of worms that you don't want to open up if you start doing all of this, because I've watched it in these county meetings and these city meetings, and for long you got so many worms crawling, and all it takes is one to start doing them.
It's like Daniels has become this destination for these people who want to come here. They want these 5-acre lots. But all the people who live here, the locals, they want to still be local to the area. It's not local anymore. This town is not for locals.
No.
It is not local friendly here anymore. And as much as I think everybody should be allowed to use the property and not be screwed over, it's kind of like it is what it is, you know? It's a black and white deal.
But a lot of it is, I think, the time has come and gone for that, because back when some of that was, Daniels was in the county. We weren't the town. We were just county. And a lot of them couldn't meet county requirements, and if they would have, they should have done it back then, not now want to twist the rules.
A lot did, and then there's a lot that just did it on their own because they didn't want to go talk to the county about it. And you can split things into multiple parcels, but that doesn't necessarily split the lot.
No.
That's what people don't understand.
And I mean, what I got from it was, this has been in since 2006, right? So, I mean, that's 20 years, but now a lot of them, as you said, they sold the big property in the back and they got a lot, but now they want to all of a sudden move out there when they sold that property, they needed 5 acres. Build on, and they didn't keep that out of that 5 acre or out of the 20 acre parcel or the 23 acre parcel or whatever. They didn't hold 5 acres so they could build on it. But now they want the town to make all these exceptions, and I don't agree with that myself. If the lot was a lot and it was a buildable lot, they can still build on it.
Correct.
But these lots that are not, you're gonna have to make all these exceptions for them, and I really think you're kinda, if you're gonna hold true to what it is, I don't think now's the time to do it, because I think we all know what's gonna come down through there at one point. And these lots will be gobbled up when that time comes, and that will be their time to do this, and not now. I can see if you start bending your rules again. I mean, I don't know. That's sort of what I get from it. I really don't think that any of us really know what they're doing. I want to do this, and I want to do that, but they don't, a lot of, and I don't know what lots there really are, but I know a few of them down there, most of them are around 3,000 or Danforth Road there, that they're wanting to do this. But I don't know what else. That's my opinion, my takeaway on it, was nobody really knew what it. A non-conforming lot, an illegal lot, really is.
What did you think, Scott?
I was surprised that there were, I mean, I think the majority of the people there were of the opinion that they don't want a 5-acre minimum to change. I think there were, I was surprised at how many people in the town voiced their opinion that they felt like there was an unfair thing happening. I was surprised by that. I don't know if that represents the entire town population or opinion. But I agree with Cody in that it's inevitable that something is going to happen down the road, right? But if we open up this can of worms now, then that something happens a whole heck of a lot sooner than I think most people want it to happen. And I am of the opinion that if it's a 5-acre minimum, then it's a 5-acre minimum. Do what you have to do to get the property to a point where you can build on it. I mean, I've had to do that in other places, and it sucks, but that's what makes those places what they are.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys say anything about this, but one of them lots that's down there on the lower half of 3,000, that's three some odd acres or whatever, there used to be a house on that.
Yeah, and that was actually a little different issue.
Yeah, well, but I guess what my question is when that house burned down, if they would have
rebuilt
it or went through the proper channels to keep that as a lot, that would be buildable, correct?
Yeah.
Or if they would have rebuilt before, like how did the
use
change?
They have a year.
Do they have a year to rebuild?
And so is the current owner the owner that owned the house that burned down?
Yes.
Oh, he owned the home that burned down?
Yes.
It changed. I don't know how many years ago that's been, but it's been.
It's been.
In 2000.
Yeah, so that's 25 years.
So even,
and that was the thing, he didn't even do anything until 20 years, and then he started looking up. Like,
hey. So realistically, though, he had
any applications
six,
or anything.
Yeah, so realistically, after it built, or after it burned down, he still had 6 years that he could have built on it until 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that.
And he doesn't want to build on it. He wants to sell it as a buildable lot.
That's his goal.
Why wouldn't you want to do that? There's 3.5 acre lot on line for $630,000.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Selling it online.
Yeah. No, he lost his last court case and raised the price by $100,000.
But that one does have its own merits.
Yeah. That's a whole different issue.
Well, thanks for your input. But I guess one other thing is, back when the county required 200 feet of frontage, you had to have 200 feet of frontage. And that is why, when Melanie North owned Sale, she had 2 building lots there, but she couldn't build because she didn't even meet the county requirement then with 1 lot. That's why she had to buy that other lot, was to get 200 feet of frontage.
She bought the other lot?
Because they had to have, that was the requirement from the county.
There's some really odd shaped lots on 3000 because of that requirement.
Yeah.
200 in the front, 165 in the back.
And so I mean, you go put it back to them. Now they're wanting you to bend all these rules for it, but that was the standard clear back 40 years.
So to get that building permit, there was probably a deal made that would take it from this other lot and never build one.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, when she bought that from Mary Lou, that was all one piece. And I don't know how or where Mary Lou got it in the actual 2 lots, but that's why she bought the whole piece, was because she needed the frontage for it, because they wouldn't let them build on it. They bought the county for quite a while on it, but that's when why they had to have that was deep.
I heard that. I didn't go research that very thing, but they had used the frontage for another lot to build.
Because I didn't research all that. I thought that was all one piece until, I don't know. It was way back when Lee was doing it. They bought it from Mary Lou.
Yeah, there was one. Do we want to send any information to the town council? Opinion from planning? Or let it set for a month?
I just don't get the impression that the town wants to really change it. It's a little different, but I don't.
I mean, I heard just a number of people that voiced they wanted to find a way to solve for these.
But there's no
viables.
I agree. I think there were people that voiced that they would like to see something happen, but nobody came up with
how many people? So everybody's heart goes out to Mrs. North and to Mrs. Webb and to these people, right? Like, nobody wants to step on their face and say sorry. Right? We want to be good neighbors. We want to be good people. And so how many people responded in a let's find a way to help these people out from an emotional standpoint as opposed to
practical standpoint.
The practical, good for the community, does making that change on a onesie-twosie basis, which isn't going to be able to hold up anywhere, it's going to open the whole can, right? Is that what our town wants as a whole? Or are we getting up and saying, I'm here to support my neighbor who has this 3-acre lot, and it just makes sense that we let them build because my lot is the same size as their lot, right? Like,
whatever their reason is, that's not mine to interpret. It's they can voice their vote
right
one way or the other, whether they do it for that. But
people make a lot of decisions that don't make logical sense, and that's on them to decide if that's their vote.
Right.
So be it, their vote. I'm not saying that I'm for or against going that path. I'm just trying to interpret what I heard there was, at least of those that were willing to give an opinion on it, for whatever their reason behind it, I don't know. I agree. I think there's probably a lot of that aspect. I mean, I felt for most of those people that got up there with that.
Been in here, and you feel the same way. It's
yeah. Like, and I
have a boy that six of them that's got to that find a place to live somewhere.
Love to have them live next to you, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
but I can't.
I mean, I don't know.
We can. You just got to buy the neighboring lots.
That's right.
And that's the only way.
Yeah, well, both of those have other options. Well, her opponent and them did have another option.
And they sold it. And
they
monetized it.
Because they wanted that money.
And we still don't know about the lot that they're talking about. It might be not a conforming lot of record. Nobody's asked.
That's sort of what I was wondering, if it was the one behind Reggie's house, or because there's a little strip behind Reggie's house right there, and I don't know if
I think that's Reggie's now.
Is that Reggie's?
Yeah.
When they did all the fence line adjustments for that, at least I was assuming it's where the shop
was. Yeah, that's where they want to build, is where the quantum was. Yes.
They're wanting to tear that down.
No, they just want to build there. It's
It's
just complicated because it wasn't very many years ago that they came and said, we don't want to pay taxes on this. We're paying commercial taxes on this. And we're willing to sign a paper that the county says it's not buildable and we'll never build on it. We don't want to be taxed on it. And then, you know, down the road a few years, the situation changes. And then situations have changed. And so there's different... And every lot, like I said, every single one of these lots has a different story.
Yeah, and there's always no blanket way to apply it for every one of them.
Yeah, so whatever's
to your point, the code has to cover everybody, and so it's...
Good luck.
Yeah.
Guess what? I think the current code does cover it.
It does, if that's the guideline that we want to leave it as. Yeah. Is that the
Vince Paul's the best way right now?
So in that meeting, I identified five lots that were talked about in that meeting. One was Mona's, the garage. Then the garage that's across by Kim's old house.
Yeah.
I forgot her name.
Yeah.
Then the Witt, the Schultz parcel, and the North parcel. So those five were brought up in the meeting.
Well, Larry Ward brought up
600. Yeah. Yeah, they have 9 acres, and so they want to subdivide off. The Mayor Duggan tried. We tried. He tried. I didn't try. He tried to get that so it would pass. Because again, a noble cause.
Yeah.
And you want your kids to come take care of you when you get old.
And you're so close.
Yeah.
To what the threshold would be, and like again,
yep.
I know my parents had their 9.8 acres, and we went down that for a while. And we're like, oh.
Yeah.
Eric told us no. Go buy some ground from your neighbor, and guess what? He wasn't selling.
That's right. Yeah, so like I said, they're all noble causes. But
I get them, yeah.
It's just, it's hard. And you can't draft something for somebody that's been here, because the people that's coming in have the same rights. And that's what I heard a lot in that meeting. These old families are here. They've been here a long time, and it's like,
they deserve
that's
special
just not
treatment.
How it works. That's why we should the Bill of Rights. It's like
you
cannot do that. So,
we'd like to, maybe. But
I'd like to send the recommendation to the town council that we just maintain the current code as it is.
Okay.
I just don't see a way to onesie twosie people and not just get ourselves in and advise.
So would you like to make a motion?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion that we send a recommendation to the town council to maintain the current lot zoning as it currently exists. Is that what you call it, lot zoning?
when you say the non-conforming?
Non-conforming
process.
Well, it doesn't matter, it's the same.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, you're right.
Addressing the non-conforming lots to maintain the current zoning requirements.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
Horner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Does the town have the insurance when somebody throws rocks through my window?
A picture spot.
Mine?
Yeah. 3.4, you're not conforming.
That's correct, but it's a lot of record. I meet the requirements.
We haven't looked into it, maybe it's.
I've looked into it, I've never done anything inappropriate.
You're probably right.
Do you know how many non-conforming lot of records there are? Ballpark?
It's impossible to tell.
No, I mean.
Ballpark, it's more than half the lots in the town.
Yeah, about 50% were non-conforming.
Or smaller than five acres.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got 53%, I think, lots counted.
Where some of the confusion and frustration comes in from a lot of.
But anything pre-1965 is kind of what lasts, so. Until subdivision ordinances started happening. So a lot of those lots were there when you could just say, I'm selling you this piece and you'll build a house on it.
Do you know when you have to start registering lots with the county? Was that after 65?
After 65.
You know, when the zoning come in, that would have triggered that.
Is your answer?
I think they started, so.
Late 70s.
And you remind me where they're about. And they bought that, I don't know, a few years before that. But, and that was part of the thing, was you had to have that 200-foot.
What we're saying, to be fair, if you, if there's a house on it, somebody decided that it was leaked on something, so.
Yes.
We're not gonna go back and revisit that.
Oh, no, 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 I wasn't even meaning that.
Despite what some people recommend, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
I.
Were you do knock it down?
Well, and we should also note that we did have a lot that came, had a house on it, the house was gone, but they had a lot of record certificate, and the council did honor that and let them build a house on that lot.
Which was that? When was that? Not since I've been on here, right?
Oh, no, no, I think it was.
But we would do that today.
Yeah, Steiners.
It was about 2010.
There's not an issue.
Maybe. Again, the council's not under obligation to honor that, but they have in the past, so.
We have every time in here.
And the county won't issue them, but I think, you know, they can come back and prove that it was done legally, that it met the zoning at the time, then.
But don't those lot of records, because I know there's a lot of records, but they have to be transferred a specific way to keep them honorable.
As long as they're transferring the whole thing.
Well.
You're okay.
And the only reason I bring this up is because I know down in the North Fields, there have been a lot of records, but the county won't honor them. They have bought pieces, but a lot of records aren't honorable.
Yeah, they're definitely under no obligation to follow those, so.
Okay, let's move to number eight. Is Mary's provided us a summary of the town council?
I think you missed number seven.
Oh, I did on purpose, no. Not on purpose. Okay, so we got a grant to update the general plan. There is a consultant that's, there are a group of consultants that have been assigned to the town to help us do that. looking at the traffic, they're gonna look at that road, so. Some of the other things we should look at. Yeah, doubtful. Anyway, but look at our general plan, we've kind of said keep it simple like it is, we like it simple. We'll see what they come up with. Do you have any comments on it, Eric?
I just said they'll be coming your way, so this is your heads up, that they'll be coming to this meeting and working through to see what your vision is as the planning commission, what they're plugging in.
Who's they?
So our grant is through MAG, Mountain Land Association of Governments, and they put it out to bid. And there were several municipalities around it, they went with five, I believe. And ours is City, what do they call them? City Engineering, City Development, anyway. And so they're doing all these different municipalities, they're doing Charleston too. Mm. We've signed on.
Yeah.
And so we paid, I think, $5,000 to be eligible to get into that program and just look at it. So I think we're in better shape than maybe some of the other ones because we have updated. And by law, we have to do that every 5 years. So this will start another 5-year process if you change it. If you guys, if there's something that needs changing, you guys want to change it, then this will update. As we work through that, but they want to know your vision. I mean, and it takes into account, as you guys know, everything that happens, happens in the valley. It's not just in Daniel, so it's a big thing. So just be aware of that, that they'll be coming. If you have ideas that you want to portray to that, but we'll do community meetings too, where the communities will come. They'll be able to, I remember the last time that we had the vision, I can't remember what version it was, but everybody come and they plop down their maps and they says, okay, you've got 1,400 people coming, where are you going to put them? Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, we left that meeting with, they're not coming.
The gate's closed.
No, I just remember that meeting because I came in late and Kip was scribbling out a road that he had drawn right in the middle, right through my field. So when I came in, he scribbled there. Anyway.
One thing I would add about that meeting is that they will be formulating a survey for the townspeople that they will be circulating online, and we'll also have some paper copies that, you know, people can fill out. So it's just gathering information about how the townspeople feel about what we have now, what they'd like to see in the future.
How long the process is?
Well,
6 months, a year, or
I asked them to wait until September to come up with a survey because we're probably moving our office, and for us to have any input or control over anything, we need to be settled in a new spot before we can do that. So I would look for that survey sometime in, I think, September.
Yeah, but, and I don't know, is the cutoff December that it has to be out? I don't know.
I didn't hear a date. I did not.
No, that we have to be done with this. The grant will run out of money. So there's a timeline set on that. But as you guys know, the legislature, every time they meet, they take a little bit more power from the towns and cities. And I mean, that's what happens. And so this helps us be compliant with the state code, which is why we did it last time. They've added things, and this will help us do that also. But again, they're meeting again, so.
And one other thing that they were talking about is that because ours is so simple, and we want to keep pretty much what we have, that they won't be spending so much money on the general plan, but they would be able to help the town drafting ordinances that, you know, maybe we're not in compliance with or whatever. So that, I think that will be very helpful.
Yeah, could be. It may not be, but depends on where they're coming from, what their vision is. So that's why it'll be so important for you guys to portray what we're portraying.
So their vision is becoming based on the state is to build.
Right, and it could be that, and that's obviously not what Daniel's about. So you'll have to convey that to them and make it our plan, not their plan. So
Yeah, we don't have to do anything that they close to, but we have to at least look at it.
Yeah, you remember the last time this happened, Horrocks had it done, and they showed up and said, all you got to do is sign, your plan's already done. So we haven't even seen it.
We haven't even seen it.
Like, that's not our plan. So that was shot down pretty fast, but These guys have started a different avenue, so.
And I don't know if it'll happen, but I asked Scott to, UDOT to come to a council meeting again, because there are precious few details about the South Interchange and how we're going to get home at night. And that was one other thing I heard the county manager say on KPCW today, is that UDOT has not given many details. And the county's worried about how are people outside of Heber City going to get home and into town, and that really hasn't been considered yet. So I think we've got to stay on UDOT and make sure that we can still get home at night without driving the Provo first.
Might be faster.
It is now, but.
To drive around the lake.
Okay, let's move to item number 8, which is summary of the town council meetings that Mary's created.
So we're just trying to keep you updated about what's going on at the council, since we don't see everybody there. Did you have any questions about any of those things?
Makes sense.
So I've heard they have the, we sent a recommendation for accepting the
commercial condominiums
deal, mm-hmm. and they voted that down.
That's correct.
Do we know what the basis for that? What were their concerns with regard to that? I've heard rumor and stuff, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know that I really can speak for the council, but what I understood was that they, at least some of them, believed that it would be onerous, a burden for the town to manage the ordinances that would be necessary. Eric, would you like to?
I think there was a lot of unknown, and I think that that state code with those 60 some odd pages, I think it was just too much for the town of Daniel. I think that was what they thought. It's just, why would we change it? There's not a benefit to us, other than that we may have other owners, but we have, it's already owned. And so they couldn't, that they couldn't tie that in together, that it would bring in more money.
And I've heard that there was a concern that it would bring in more work for the town.
It has a possibility.
What is the increase in the work to the town?
So if you have individual owners, right now we have one contact, Nephi Turnell. He has to go in and deal with everybody in that building. If we have separate owners, then we have to go to each owner or to their, if they do have a homeowners or business association, then we're dealing with that. So I don't.
They do have to have one.
It says that there is one contact.
Yeah.
Did the council read that?
Or did they read a lot, but they just couldn't get to that point. And when they Nephi brought, well, this is in the follow-up meeting, he brought Corbin to come and discuss that. But.
So really, what is the increased workload? You were the one that kind of brought that concern up, as I read or listened to it.
Yep, it just brings so much more.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking, please explain to us, or me, I don't know if the rest of them care, what is the workload? Because you're going to have building or business licenses, no matter whether it's a condo or a rental unit. You're going to have the same business licenses, the same everything. The only thing, you have one contact. If it's a condo, you have an association in that condominium. We have that president's contact, period. So that doesn't wash. Where is the additional workload? I don't understand it and would like to know where you're coming from.
I don't know that there is a workload. It just has a potential for more workload.
What's the difference?
And so with the landscaping, the whole thing, if we had full-time staff, I think we're talking a whole different story.
Okay.
But we do not.
One of the benefits that we talked about in here was that if I'm a business owner, I don't want to pay rent, right? And if I have the ability to come into a facility and purchase that, I am making an investment in that community. I am not going to make that investment and experiment with my business there. I'm going to experiment with my business somewhere, and then I'm going to say, it's going to fly. Now I invest in the commercial property to operate my business. So I think one thing that we discussed is that the condominiumization of that building or any building would bring a more stable commercial entity to our town rather than the coming and going, you know, success failure rate potentially would drop and we get a better proven business there. That was my feedback, was that you particularly were against it because of the potential workload. And so I want to know why you said that. I want to know where the details in the increased workload would come from. Because everybody has to have the same commercial license. They have to meet all of the same code. Everything has to be the same for that business, with the exception of the facility has one person still, the president of the association, or the owner of the entire property. You still have one point of contact. So please explain the increased workload. Where do you foresee that coming?
So that, what you said about the owners was discussed in the meeting, because that was brought up, that we have a higher class of clientele for people that would own that.
Just a more proven business.
Yeah, well, it would just be a higher, they would take care of things better than rent. And I think that was discussed there. The problem was that the council just didn't see a benefit to the town and a potential to be a negative. And so, as I'm a planner, I look at things and they say, we want to change something. The first thing I say is, what do we need to change and why? So if there's not a positive for the town, we're getting more tax revenue, we're doing all these things, it's just not there. It's not enough to change our code.
Where's the negative?
I think if you drive by right now, you can see the negative.
You don't. The negative that you see right now is the pile of fencing and the crap that's stored there. If I own a piece of that property and that parking lot is part of the association, I'm going to say, you've got to get your out of here because that's my parking, or that is making my business look like I'm associated with garbage. You got to clean that crap up, neighbor. That's against our code. As it stands currently with one owner who is desperate for money, he doesn't really give a rat's what's there. It doesn't matter to him. He's getting the money. But if I own that, if I own my property, I want that place cleaned up. So I disagree with the negative is what's there. The negative is there because of the current situation. If you change the ownership, that new owner is going to say, clean your crap up, neighbor.
Well, I think the town will have to revisit that whole thing if we start condominiumizing. Because, look, we built a storage facility. The parking matrix was off of a storage facility. He's changed those uses. He started renting these out to different businesses. There's the potential for the town.
I think he built that as a storage. That was Mark Harrell's.
No, it was a storage facility.
And that was before our time.
And so the whole parking matrix was built off of that storage facility. And I had this discussion with Dean. I said, you've really changed the use. The parking that you had for a storage facility has been expanded. And so now he's talking about selling this one and
was that
two more phases behind there.
Yeah.
And so, the whole thing's going to have to be.
So since I've been here that I can recall, just correct me if I'm wrong, it was always a business building. His wife was going to have her hair school in there. Mm-hmm. It was always a business. I don't remember.
So that's
since I've been on the planning commission, that ever being a storage. And I do remember phase one is this building. Then we're going to do phase two, or we're going to, you know, apply for phase two. There's been phases. I think there was up to three, if I remember right. I remember the phases, but I don't remember when you say that it was originally planned or whatever as a storage facility. That must have been before we were on there.
I don't remember that.
And wouldn't the parking be something that gets contemplated as you're going in and a business is going to apply for their permit for whatever use they're going to use that building for? I know that's the way I've had to do it in other spaces. Well, and so they might end up with a spot where they're like, hey, I've got 1,500 square feet and I want to do a retail shop for it. And guess what? My parking load says I can't have 1,500 square feet of retail. I can have 400 feet of retail because that's the load that it's going to accommodate. And then the rest is going to be my warehouse to facilitate that, or it's going to do online sales, or pick your poison, whatever. But the use of what that business applies for in that particular space is where we implement parking load, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the use. It's assigned in the matrix. So, and the bad part about this is we don't even know what's in there. We don't even know what's in there. They're not licensed with the town. We don't even know what's in there. So.
And that's a whole other issue for the town of how do we want to enforce. If nobody's written a complaint, then I understand that nothing happens, and it's a whole bag of stuff
but
there.
But
that
we don't know who's there. When the does town not change from a rental to an owner.
Actually, it does.
How?
Because if you have an owner, it's at least registered in the county
okay,
records.
Okay, so there is a benefit for condominiumizing as opposed to a rental.
Do you know who the owner is?
Well, right now the onus falls back on Evine as the owner of everything for whatever happens.
But we don't even know. He's saying under the current situation, with the one owner and the renter, we don't know who's there. But if they sold it as a condominium, we know who the owner is, and therefore you know the business.
Maybe. They could be renting it after a whole other business. I could own it, and I'm just going to rent it to Joe down the street to do whatever they want to do with it. So maybe you do, maybe you don't. To me, that one doesn't make sense.
If there's a renter there, don't they have to apply for a business license?
Yes.
They should.
They should know who's there.
Only if they've applied. Our method of enforcement is if somebody writes a complaint, then we'll go investigate. Otherwise, operate however you want to operate, and as long as you keep your neighbor happy, the town of Daniel doesn't come do anything. And so that's been my MO, and that's been some of the frustration of position is we can enforce a lot of codes.
I was going to say, if the town moves offices, we'll have a better idea of what's going on.
Yeah, you'll have a better handle on it.
So here's my other point, right? I own a commercial building, and there is 10 units, separate units. So Nephi can just go get partners. He could go sell shares of his building, and we have nothing to say about that.
That's right.
Right? So still nothing
and
changes.
No homeowners association.
Yeah, that's
correct.
That's a worse scenario.
So that's correct. That's absolutely correct. That's my point. So if I'm Nephi Trunell, I need some money to pay the $70,000 property tax that's coming due. I need whatever, right? So I just go to this dude that's talking to me about buying the thing and just say, how about just buying a percentage of the whole?
But he can do that even if we have the condominium.
Yeah, he can still sell a percentage of his small unit.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But if he chooses to do that, we have no say in whether he can do that or not. Zero.
No, he can do that.
And so ultimately that kind of ends up to be similar to the condominiumization.
It does. He could set up an escort
and have partners in that. So
except you have no homeowners or building owners present.
We don't have a one contact opinion. So it makes it worse. So I guess if Nephi came to me and saying, hey, you own a business, a building, kind of similar to what I have, what would you suggest? I'd say go sell shares of your building. And put your middle finger up to Daniels and say, screw you, this is what I'm going to do. And it makes all of the things you talked about come to fruition.
Well, and I can't speak for the town council either.
Right.
The ones that had the vote. I didn't have a vote. That was my opinion.
Right. And I think your opinion swung it, from what I understood.
I don't think it did. I think Eric Bennett is on there, too.
But I just
want
to know what your, where that, because when I talked to some of the council members, that was what I was told, is that if we were concerned about the increased workload that it would bring upon the town. So I'm asking what the difference in the workload was, because I don't see it.
I think you should go listen to the minutes. I think Robin had a lot to say.
Yeah.
I think Eric Bennett had a lot to say, who was in one of these also.
Right.
But it was their decision. It's a recommendation from me, recommendation from you.
Right.
I couldn't see the positives in it enough to make the town want to go out on that limb and do it.
Okay.
And so that was my opinion.
But I can sure see the negatives for him taking care of his needs and making it a lot worse for the town.
I think that came up. If you made a bad business decision, is it the town's responsibility to make sure you can make money?
Nope.
And I don't think it is.
Absolutely. Nope.
And that came up in
the
meeting.
The advantages of going through this process that we wouldn't have said before with it too. That's okay. I mean,
yeah, that's how it works. That's the process.
My wife would say that I act mad right now. I'm not.
Right.
I just get very direct.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad about the decision. I want to understand it.
Yep.
And I'm just so that comes across as a different emotion.
Absolutely.
Whatever, but I just wanted to understand that seemed to be the number one problem was the workload. I just didn't ever.
You're always welcome to come to those meetings when these issues come up and put your 2 cents in. And Eric is right. I would recommend that you listen to the discussion. It was about an hour's worth of discussion.
Right.
It was a good discussion. There were issues like insurance came up, disagreements between the owners. You know, I mean, with a renter, you could kick them out, but with an owner, you can't do that. There was one council person, there were only three present council people, and one was really concerned about the workload. But I do think you probably ought to listen to it yourself because Eric is right. It came up that, you know, it's not the town's responsibility to have to make this work for you. You knew what you were getting into or should have.
I agree with that.
So, 100%. So anyway, I mean, it was a good discussion, and Eric was asked for his opinion, and he gave it. He doesn't get to vote.
It's fine. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking where, you know,
yep.
That's my concern. Because that's basically what I was told, is that it boiled down to primarily the increased workload on the town.
Yeah, when you listen to those minutes, you'll see that Robin had a whole different discussion than it sounds like he had with you in the meeting, so.
Can't imagine.
Okay, let's move to the planner report. Have any questions for Eric?
Do you not have it?
It wasn't on the computer. At least I didn't see it.
That's
I fell asleep during that moment.
So I got a couple of things while you're looking that over.
I got it.
Have the letters been sent based on the complaints?
So
yes.
The Moline and the let's see which
Phage.
The Phage.
Phage LeBeau.
Yeah, those two have been sent. The other ones we're still working through on the nightly rentals. We're still working through the wording. The attorney's like, an admission is not strong enough. Is not strong enough evidence and necessarily makes it a violation. And that's our attorney's opinion. But the other two have been signed, sealed, and sent. The attorney's office sent them certified.
So. It went out on the 15th. Or at least they're dated the 15th.
15th of August?
Mm-hmm.
So just a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, of course, you have to give them 30 days. We gave them 45 to make sure we pass that they, for them to comply. But yes, letters did go out.
So is the attorney trying to rework language on the nightly rental stuff then, or trying to decide what they're doing? Where's
they're trying to
direction.
Get, if we have noise complaints, other complaints. Basically, the complaint we got only said that he said in the meeting that they were doing it, right? So if we have noise complaints, traffic complaints, all those things are nuisances, which carry it's a higher bar.
Do you have more complaints than that?
No.
Mayor does.
Does he?
Yep.
Because I've only seen...
I wrote one.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. So, and it was the admission in the meeting.
Christy wrote one. She did, though, want to mention the numerous times she's called sheriff's office about it, which should be on record if we're looking for things.
Yeah, and that's what we need is more evidence. I think what happened was what was said in the meeting and what was portrayed to our attorney. And so I brought this up. Somebody said the owner had admitted in the meeting that they were doing that. Well, when you get down to it, it wasn't the owner, remember? It was the owner's brother.
But it was the manager of the facility.
So, but we have to be pretty specific in our complaints.
Yeah, if you look at that, he is the manager.
Yeah. Right. And so the complaint, if it would have went, his attorney says, he's not the owner, they'd have thrown that out, because that's what the complaint said the owner, at least that's what the attorney got out of that. The owner admitted. And it wasn't the owner, it was the owner's brother that admitted to doing that. So,
right.
So it's just those little fine lines that we're working through.
You look online, he is the property manager, so you should say the property manager.
Yeah, we can, yeah. So anyway, I address that, and we're just working through some changes. I wish we had more complaints on them, because
yes.
I think it would be way advantageous of us to get that to our attorney to put that in
sure.
within that complaint, because nuisance is a strong law. So.
I think in our file, Bridgers is the only written complaint that I have in that file. So if you know of another person that's made a complaint, I don't have a copy of it.
Yeah, let's.
So that one has not been sent yet, anyway, on that one, on the Riley property.
So the other ones have to the end of September, roughly.
Yeah, yeah, they'll either come in compliance or they can file an appeal.
Then what happens?
Then we would go ahead and issue them a citation. Then they have to go tell the judge why they didn't do that.
Yeah. Or a citation, the fine, daily fine is much less than they rent it for, so.
Well, I look at my, the house or whatever that's either built on the corner, you know, that's.
I have
so those two happen for me. Anyway.
Is there a definition of compliance in those letters?
No, I think of the in those letters is the code that says what the violation is.
It is. The two animals per acre
right.
or the
is in there.
Multiple RA5
mm-hmm.
whatevers.
Yeah, they list the health, safety, and welfare in the complaint on the animals because those three items are spoken to in our code. So that's very open and shut about.
But the house one?
The house one is, so we speak about moving without a permit. We did not verify there was other people living on that property. I couldn't verify that. I see the bathroom, but I can't verify there's somebody living in the garage or in the trailer or in the, I couldn't verify that, but I could verify that they had moved a building onto the lot. So I sent the pictures, that's attached to them complaints.
Just a question, if they moved that double wide onto the lot just to remodel it and then split it apart and put it on another one, is that against the code? If they say we brought it in to fix it up and then we're gonna put it on a different lot.
It would be against the code, because you can't move a building without a permit.
Yeah.
So it would be against the code.
What do you need to prove that there are other people living there?
Pictures would be nice. Anything that we could, I mean, it's, all I have is a bathroom out back. I go by at night, there's no lights on. I can see out there. So it's hard from my standpoint to get any evidence to substantiate that. There's not cars parked all over. I mean, it's not obvious. And so that's what our attorney's looking for, is something they can defend in court, because they're the ones that have to defend. Yeah.
Cool.
And so that's why I go out and investigate. I usually do that a few times and gather enough evidence that, yeah, there's a violation. In my opinion, I go back and I tell the council that. They initiate the letter with the board. I guess they don't have to. They could say, well, it's not worth dealing with. But anyway, that's how the process works.
So I have a couple of updates. Do you remember the Geneva Rock annexation?
Yes.
I finally today think that I can certify that is going to go through, so we'll be working on that. Their subdivision has not gone to the town council. They're still having trouble with the surveyor's plat map, and so until they get that squared away, the council won't even look at it. So that's kind of off, but that's where we are with that. Also, we are in the we'd like to hire an administrative assistant, if you know somebody, just for part-time. I'm going to be stepping aside eventually when we get another person trained in the new space. And, you know, this has gone on a little longer than I anticipated that it would. But we're making great progress, and we're going to get it all up to speed
here. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate your saying that. But it's always a pleasure to do the work for the town, right?
I have another question with regard to the, well, particularly the Trinell property. What is their access onto Little Sweet?
There's an access on Little Sweet.
The commercial access, they could.
Yeah, there's always been access to that property off of Little Sweet.
Not an emergency fire one, that's just a straight up. Yep,
it's a straight. And the same thing with the Haraldson property. They have access to Little Sweet. That's an easement that was recorded. That it's an open.
They do, but we put some conditions on it.
Yeah. Right.
Restrictions, though.
Mm-hmm. On its conditional use, but they have access.
Yeah.
And then there's also a question, I think it's on the Haraldson's access that comes by where the roses now live.
Mm-hmm. That is the access that there are access to the sweet.
And the heated access is only 8 feet wide.
So that's a little.
It's only 8 feet.
So that's a little complicated, and I'm sure it's going to end up in court because everything is complicated that we touch. Or otherwise, it just happened. So,
fair enough.
What happened was there's a 20 foot easement there. They did a lot line adjustment between the two parcels, but they never touched the easement. So now we have a new lot line with the lot line adjustment, and so they're claiming that there's 8 feet on the other side of that, on their property, on the roses. When in reality, there should have been 10 on their side and 10 on the other one, but because of the lot line adjustment that was signed.
So is there an easement there or not?
There is an easement. I'm pretty sure that the judge is going to require an easement through there. It was there. If they made a lot line adjustment and that easement was there prior to that, they're going to make them have that easement. Easements are tough things to get around. I think that's going to stomp their, I shouldn't say stomp, that's probably not a legal term. I think it's going to trump the lot line adjustment. I think they will have to. So.
I don't know, I'm just asking. I went over there and picked up a trailer one day and I'm like, there's not room here for.
Yeah, so they applied for a water permit, the roses did, and we sent them a letter from the town that says the sum of our two side setbacks is 12 feet. We're not going to, we sent them a letter said, we're not getting in the middle of you and Haraldson's fight, the town doesn't care. But if you set back that barn 12 feet from your sideline, then you've complied with the town code. If you do that, we'll issue the permit. That never came to fruition, so. We got no.
So. Yeah, but I do think there were some conditions that their
right,
commercial traffic can't
right,
be their primary access or a primary access could not be for the whole suite.
Yeah.
And I think they complied with getting their commercial out off the highway. Because there was no access out there prior.
But their commercial currently is coming and going through Little Sweet.
Right, and they said they would use that for during construction. They absolutely said that in their permit, when they pulled their permit, that they would be using that for construction.
Just, yeah, I can see complaints coming based on that. And I know
it's going to be a sticky situation.
Through the residential areas is that buffer kind of thing.
Yep.
We did like with the Haraldson deal, to make that buffer.
Yeah, my fear is they'll say, well, we still don't have our access, so we're going to use this and after they start vending units in the building. Then we're going to have to make sure we say no.
That's kind of what I'm bringing it up, is to try to have that butt and say.
They have the letter from UDOT. We have the letter from UDOT, so they have commercial access.
Yeah,
from 40. Yeah, from 40.
But they've got to build it.
What's that?
They've got to build it.
Yeah, they've paved out to the white line already, so I think they have an acceleration lane already there.
Okay. So why aren't they using it for construction?
I think that when they're working on that gets blocked off with all their stuff they're doing, so they're using
it. So they are building it, but it's just not done.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot going on that little
teeny narrow little.
It's just that so narrow, right?
So much going on in there.
It's going there.
Yeah.
So who's responsible for that?
For
the ingress, egress, accesses, all of those things. Is that another one of those the neighbors have to complain that they're using that?
I think once the town, if the town gets a complaint, I think they're going to make Harrelson aware of that, and I think that those two will be work figured out.
Well, no, I'm talking the Trunell piece.
The Trunell piece? He has access. There was nothing.
Nah, there was a condition put on that.
Because his condition was that he connected connectivity with the neighbor Davis, and they connected. That's how they got it through UDOT, is they shared a driveway. So UDOT,
the 40.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with 40. I have a problem with them accessing commercial through residential.
Yeah, I don't think there's any restriction on Trunell piece coming on.
I swear we did that.
Great conversations to have in your next conditional use. You just scheduled two of them. So.
Or go back to look and see that.
It's been long enough. I'm not going to say anything with much certainty there.
We've been pretty careful about protecting people's residential rights from the impact of commercial.
Any other questions for Aaron?
So I just wanted to, we got off track. The wax staffs have a remodel permit that's open, so you'll see some stuff going on there. And Ricky Navarro of Historic Haven, he's tearing off some stairs and replacing those, so he's pulled a permit to replace those stairs and soffit on that house. Historic Haven. So those are our two remodels that you probably don't know about this time of year.
Can you give some background on the mobile home park water connection?
Yes, I can. So Central Utah Water got the contract to John, their engineering, JUB Engineering. He cycled it to us. We sent it, after it came back from there, to our attorney. Our attorney just replied today that there was a couple items that she didn't like, so I've told her to incorporate those changes. And then they're taking down trees right now. They wanted that contract signed today because Tempest, that was their kickoff for their be done by September 30th was today. And so I think they're looking at changing that finish date because they're there right now. Today they should have been backing for lines, identifying where lines are within the trailer park. But it's right there, it's ready to go. So we think we got everything ready to go. Once our attorney signs off, then that contract will be issued.
And so how does, I guess, and it's been a minute since I remember all this, like impact fees per unit, did we go through that, or we were trying to figure that out at one point, and then if,
yes,
this was all going from a well to now municipal, so they've,
yeah,
theory never done anything for that, and then
no council.
Yeah, I understand it's all theirs. So I'm just trying to understand what it was set on. I get it. It's so, not our purview, but
so our impact fee is
$107,500.
Yeah, and we settled on $10,000.
One?
No,
or per
ten.
$10,000 for the entire park.
No, for each hookup.
For each hookup.
For each trailer.
Okay.
Right, 10 of those. And so, but with that, it's a 4-acre fee because of the lot size. We've reduced the amount of water that they'll be able to have on
each
individual meter. Because they shouldn't have an impact as high as that. So the town agreed to 4-acre feet of water for the entire thing. That's what that contract's all about, is providing that 4-acre feet. We did have the trailer park sign a letter. It came through today that if for whatever reason that's not accepted, if the state engineer decides that that's not a good thing, that they have to provide the town with that 4-acre feet of water that's acceptable to the town. So you'll see a lot going on there right away here, pretty quick. So.
Okay.
Yeah, like today, somebody dragging a branch out and not looking anywhere. Luckily, the other side of the road was empty.
Yeah.
So you had his head down and then just...
Should be pretty tight ran with Ryan Taylor locally doing that and with Jones and DeMille both inspecting that, so it should be pretty tight around.
Cool.
I'm expecting that that will be pretty, but the state, the drinking water won't kick that money loose until that contract
where they're getting money for all these fees is
all grant, yep. And so they were beating us up too on our
fees.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Thank you.
In case you think nothing's going on.
Oh, I never think that. I always know there's something. I just don't get all the details, and that's okay. I don't want to know all the details.
Let's move to item 10.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Somebody said. Skinner, yes.
Pyle, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes. Okay, you'll notice Mary sent the bylaws. I'm pretty sure the bylaws. Motion to adjourn doesn't need a second. I'm going to have to find that again. Yeah, you guys are going to cause trouble. Right now it's easier to get a second. But